If you don't count those two games in Japan, tonight is opening night for Major League Baseball. The Miami Marlins hosting the defending world champion St. Louis Cardinals in the Marlins' brand new $600 million ballpark. It has so many water features, they're calling it the fish tank. Freelance writer Jim Gulla and his son will probably watch, but that wasn't always a given. Jim wanted to raise a baseball fan, and when Joe was 7 in the spring of 2007, he bought him a bat, a ball, baseball cards to start his collection out on Bainbridge Island near Seattle. Before long, Joe was peppering his dad with questions. Who is better, George Bell or Albert Bell? Should Albert Pujols be in the Hall of Fame? Can the Mariners trade for Red Sox slugger Manny Ramirez? And then, why does Mark McGwire look so different in this early card than in this later card? That answer came in December of 2007. The Mitchell Report named 89 players likely to have used steroids and other performance-enhancing drugs.
It says the baseball players took drugs to play better. Is that true, Dad?
Yes, according to the report, they apparently did, I said.
But isn't it cheating?
Yes, it is cheating.
So those players who took drugs are going to be punished, right?
Joe and his dad, Jim Gullo, reading from Jim's new book, Trading Manny, How a Father and Son Learned to Love Baseball Again. And they did that by finding answers to tough questions like, how do you raise a child in an era of steroid abuse? How do you explain to your kid that if he cheats at kickball, he misses the rest of recess, but if major league players cheat, nada? Jim Gullo joins us from the studios of KOPB in Portland, Oregon. Jim, you there?
Yeah, I am. Hi, Robin.
And I understand that Joe's sitting there with you, too. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
How old are you now?
I'm 11.
This was serious business for you. How did you feel when you heard about baseball players cheating?
I was kind of mad at all the players and how they hadn't got caught earlier and why they weren't getting punished so badly.
Yeah. And what'd you do with your baseball cards?
I separated them into piles. Like, I would say if one player hit 10 home runs for 5 years, and then the next year he hit 40, then I would say, like, hey, do you think this guy took steroids, Dad? And I would put him into another pile.
Mm-hmm. You separated them out if they were questionable. You definitely separated them out if they were on the list. But, Jim, you were first conflicted about this. You know, Mark McGwire, who didn't love watching the St. Louis Cardinals slugger, you know, go after Roger Maris' home run. You sort of didn't want to see this. This is interesting because as you realize, like a light bulb going off over your head, it's in the cards. It is in the cards.
At first, the steroids revelations from the Mitchell Report shocked me and saddened me as a baseball fan, but I kind of let it blow over. But then I had this little kid tugging on my sleeve. Now, why did they take steroids? Aren't they going to be punished? And it really made me realize that it was a bigger deal than many of us originally thought it would be.
The Mark McGwire cards. I mean, Joe, do you remember when you put them side by side and your dad looked at them? Do you remember his reaction?
Yeah, I remember him being like, wow.
You know, look how different.
And that was crazy.
Well, there was something funny, too, in the card from McGwire's Cardinals the year before he broke the record. It said, Mark McGwire has added something extra to his game, which, of course, we didn't realize till many years later what that extra was.
Yeah. But after drug testing comes, you know, you see these stats drop off. So it's right there in the cards. And you start thinking, how could this have happened? And why isn't, you know, will someone talk about it? But you always had Manny Ramirez of the Boston Red Sox, who you believe did not take steroids. What was it about Manny that you liked? You had his poster.
He was really powerful and he hit lots of home runs. And he was also one of the first players that I saw in a real game because, like, my first baseball game was a game between the Red Sox and the Mariners. And he won the game for the Red Sox because he hit a homer.
Okay, Manny's your man. All right. Well, you're still big fans, even though you have all these nagging questions after the 2007 Mitchell Report. Then in 2008, the New York Times breaks the story that investigators in California had a list of 104 players who failed a 2003 test for steroids. A-Rod's name is on the list. Manny's name is on the list. What was that like, Joe?
It was really sad, and I was kind of, like, mad about it. I was like, wait, what? Why would he do that? I thought, wow, now there's nobody that I can really like as much because he might have taken steroids too.
Well, in fact, you wrote him a letter.
Yeah.
You wrote Manny a letter. Is it there? Or can you get it there?
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Manny Ramirez, hi, my name is Joe. I am 9 years old. I live with my dad and my mom. Why did you take drugs? Manny, before you took drugs, you were great. You were one of the top players in the history of baseball. Well, anyway, bye. Sincerely, Joe Gullo. P.S., I think you shouldn't take drugs because they are bad for your body and they are cheating. Bye.
Bye. You know, Jim, you and Joe did say goodbye to baseball.
Well, yeah. You know, so many things came down in that 2008 season. As you mentioned, the 104 players named as having failed a 2003 drug test. And one revelation after another kind of landed in our laps on little Bainbridge Island out in the middle of nowhere. It just seemed to me like baseball was getting farther and farther away from what I wanted it to be and expected it to be and wanted to teach my kid about.
Yeah. Joe, how are you feeling at that time? Because we understand you took up some soccer, you were reading a lot of books. Did you miss baseball?
Not all that much. I would still play with my baseball cards and look at them. But, yeah, I played a little soccer for a while, and I played basketball. I kind of forgot about baseball.
Actually, like, Joe learned how to ride a bike that
yeah,
month,
I learned how to ride
summer.
A bike. But, Jim, you know, so you're having this, like, hissy fit, but, you know, you're like, you're hurt. You both hurt by baseball. You're doing other things. Yet it's not the same. I mean, you're right. He's not bounding to the breakfast table, waking up with questions about baseball. It's not the same.
No. I had worked hard to get Joe to be interested in baseball throughout his whole early childhood. And when he fell for it so passionately, I was thrilled. And then, yeah, a real bloom came off of that rose that year, both because of these revelations about drug use, but also the profound lack of response from baseball itself to any of this. You know, we went to spring training that year, and we went to opening day at the Safeco Field fully expecting some response from baseball. Sorry about that. Oops, our bad. You know, that shouldn't have happened. And there was nothing. There was no address to the fans or to these kids that what had happened was wrong and was going to be dealt with.
Welcome back to Here and Now and our conversation with Jim Gullo and his son Joe about abandoning America's pastime after the steroid scandal, especially after Joe's hero, Manny Ramirez, turns up on a list of players reported to have taken performance-enhancing drugs. And then to make matters worse, when they both write letters and ask questions, no one in baseball wanted to explain to a 7-year-old why taking steroids was wrong, why it was cheating, and why the players weren't being punished for breaking the rules. As Jim writes, by the end of the 2008 season, the Gullo family had had enough.
We stopped going to ball games, stopped reading about them in the paper, and stopped watching them on television. Instead of playing catch, I made Joe go for walks with me in the nature park down the street, which he hated. And I bought him a box of football cards. The NFL season had begun.
Jim Gullo reading from his new book, Trading Manny, How a Father and Son Learned to Love Baseball Again. Because, Jim, you did. You returned to the game as if to a lover you're going to give one more chance. Sorry, Joe. You don't know what that means yet. But we understand one day something just changed. You asked your dad to join you in listing all the baseball players you'd ever heard of?
Yeah. And then I also got the idea that we had posted up on a wall so everybody knew all the baseball players we ever knew.
Well, and then you said, let's go play catch. And it seems, Jim, like that broke the drought, decided to give the game another try, but this time it's going to be on your terms. You start a journey back to baseball, the sort of the mystical journey, but also a real physical one. You meet former player Yankee third baseman Scott Brosius, who coaches a college team near your house. He does want to talk about steroids. You meet with the brother of a Texas boy, Taylor Hooten, who committed suicide in 2003 after using steroids while on a high school baseball team. You also talked to a doctor, Justin Rothmeyer, at the Sports Medicine Clinic in Seattle, and he also gives very clear descriptions to Joe, who's sitting there, and I picture him swinging his legs, you know, too short for the chair. What did he tell you?
He told us that they're, like, awful for your body. They can kill you easily if you take too much. They'll give you bad suicidal urges, and they make it so that you can't have children. Mm-hmm. And he told us that one of the most surprising things was the people who use steroids the most are 8th and 9th grade girls.
Why are 8th and 9th grade girls using it, Jim?
You know, a performance enhancing is one part of it, but appearance enhancing is the other part of it.
Oh, yeah.
And people who want to look better and change their physical appearance, this is one avenue to do it.
Well, of course, and if you're a boy doing this, you will develop female breasts. You will lose a testicle. This is all, you know, the stuff the doctor's telling you. If you're a girl, you'll still, you know, endanger your reproductive organs and also your mood. And I can hear Joe took that in. Jim, do you think that was maybe, I don't know, too much for a child to hear?
Well, you know, yes and no, but nobody else had been talking about this. And, yeah, you know, at 7 or 8 years old, I don't think it's going to be an issue in our household of Joe turning to these things. But I wanted him to hear this now as partially an answer to why baseball players should not have been taking steroids. But I wanted him to hear it, too, when he's 15 years old and wants to make the varsity football team. And I wanted him to hear it when he's 21 years old and is trying to lift more weights in the gym. And I think it's something that we need to repeat to our kids. Mm-hmm. And also the point of kind of cheating and taking shortcuts to improve ourselves in any aspect of our grown-up lives isn't what we want for our kids.
Yeah. The point is that these kids desperately want to do the right thing, and they want to know that their heroes can do the right thing. And so you have to take your son back in time to find someone who did. You take him to Weezer, Idaho. Why?
Well, Weezer, Idaho was where the great Walter Johnson got his start as a pitcher for essentially a minor league team, the Weezer Kids in, oh my goodness, I want to say about 1906 or 7,
yeah.
And just tore up the league. But the reason was, you know, Walter Johnson was known as the greatest sportsman who ever played the game, besides being probably the greatest pitcher. And I felt just kind of desperately we had to reach back somehow and reconnect with the greatness of baseball. And really made an impression on all of us.
Did it, Joe? What'd you think of Walter Johnson?
I thought that he was an awesome pitcher, but mostly he was an amazing sport. I even read a few books about him later on.
Yeah.
And, like, he was scared to throw as fast as he could because he didn't want to hit other people because he thought he would hurt them.
He was the kind of guy he'd go visit wounded war veterans in the hospital between World Series games.
Yeah, he did. He really gave back and helped people.
Did it make you feel better about, you know, did it balance out Manny or Eric Gagne? Eric Gagne, whose glove you wear, and his name appeared in the Mitchell Report?
A little bit, but, like, one thing was I was only 9, so I was like, I don't know if this was worth driving 10 hours, but now looking back on it, like, yeah, it helped to know that there had been some good sports in the history and that there were still good people who had done things like that.
What do you think of all this, Joe? I mean, what do you think of everything your dad tried to do? Do you get that sense that he tried to do a lot of things to answer your questions?
Yeah, I do. He tried to help, but there were some questions that, like, still are unanswered.
Which questions are unanswered?
Like, are there still people in the major leagues doing steroids, unproven? Who are they?
Well, and Manny, kind of your first sports love, you know, the poster in your room. Some people may not know that after retiring from baseball last year to avoid a 100-game suspension after he failed a drug test, he's back. He has to wait out a 50-game suspension. He's expected to play this year for the Oakland Athletics. And at spring training in Arizona, he spoke to the media. He had his family there. And now, in the past, he said, it's over, I don't want to talk about it. Now he says, I made some mistakes, and I want to show my children I can correct them. Is that okay with you? Can you forgive?
Yeah, like, one thing about Manny was, I never liked Alex Rodriguez, for example, from the start. Just because, like, he lied about it so much. But, like, Manny, he never lied about it as much as him.
And that's what we can take from our athletes these days. He never lied about it that much.
That much. Well, I would just say if other fathers and sons and daughters want to find a roadmap back to baseball, it's here in the book Trading Manny, How a Father and Son Learn to Love Baseball Again. Jim Golo is the author, along with his son Joe. And just I'm just realizing, it's just hit me, this is very emotional for, I'm imagining, a lot of fathers and their children. Did it ever bring you to tears? I mean, you know, as we've sitting talking about it, how important is this?
It was important for me about baseball, and I was sad that my favorite sport, but I was never crying over it. No, I mean, like, there were worse things going on, so.
For me, the emotional part of this came in writing the book and realizing how much baseball had been connected to many, many important parts of my life, including Joe's birth. 2 months before Joe was born, we went and sat and watched the Kingdome get blown up in Seattle and realized that these moments in my life were all very much connected with baseball. And that kind of did choke me up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I think you need to go take a nap. Joe, Jim, Golo, terrific read. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Robin.
Thank you.